for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Today we talk about when you have the capacity to be emotionally mature and a self-regulating person, here's where life partnerships can begin in a very different way than what we're seeing online. And what I mean is that I get to see a lot of Elsa Journey 4D mystics, also a lot of the good mental health professionals who are sharing with us what it's like for people who do have childhood trauma and trauma overall. But what is missing is when we have those who are healing trauma and they come across emotionally mature and accountable people, okay? So emotionally aware, accountable, and self-regulating people, we are direct communicators, and that's where life partnerships in this format equate secure attachment people. Okay, so I'm a secure attachment person. A 5D person is Christ consciousness. There's integration of the brain. I'm a mystic as well, as you know, and that's the part of where woo-woo is okay. For those of you who don't believe in mystics, I totally understand, because I'm not a flat earther, but I am a person who is within the sphere of spirituality. One, I begin with Jesus, then I expand it to having clairs, and although the quantum physics and physics community overall, they can explain, as well as the neuroscientific, our experiences, having a relationship with the field and sphere of Akash is what I call it. So this infinite consciousness, which the academics call the hard problem of consciousness, is part of my experience. So I perceive and experience mysticism. I also understand it, because I can explain to you that the mind is participant to it, but I won't go off into the spiritual bypass 4D stories and say that there is some matrix, or that there is some conspiracy, or that basically the powers that were and have are controlling you. Okay, so those are Peter Pans with Wendy's, and they're on Elsa's journey, and they're spiritual bypassers because they're not living a life of spirituality, one. So they're not living with meaning and connection beyond the solo self. In fact, they don't notice that they're a human spirit, because they completely disown their human body. And that's why their one-year-old doesn't come out to play, because the pseudo-aliveness is actually the indication of their consistent living with a unhealed, unresolved inner child wounds and more, okay? So I'm going to put that to the side and just say 5D mystics and those of us in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group, which is a restorative embodiment person, so you can achieve this. It's called your inner and outer well-being, according to the updated good trauma experts, okay? Those are pachas. This is what our community wants to build. And those who do personal development seriously, they go from Cusco to Pacha land, or you've been a pacha and you get to keep on becoming more pacha. So like Jesus, forgiving, loving, kind, compassionate, knowing how to speak your truth means eventual vagal conversation. Okay. And so when somebody is behaving like a Cusco, which are the maladaptive child behaviors, we understand that those people are doing a couple of things. That would be they're not aware of their behavior being something they can understand, that they don't need to pathologize it, but that they can work with a person, you, and trauma therapist and or consultant, and or simply their self-awareness and their self-awareness with reflection and emotional lifting or emotional welcoming. The part about being able to calibrate to your ventral vagal nervous system is the capacity for those who enjoy being their self in relationships. So when I'm with people where I get to be myself, I have fun. When they get to be their self, they have fun. Why? Because our states of selves, our self inside, feels that it doesn't have to work. There doesn't have to be a mask. I don't have to keep checking in with you. I don't have to be worried that you're going to get mad at me and you're going to, you know, close the door or whatever. Okay, so for me, this is very easy. For example, if somebody gets upset, even if they, you know, say something in a way that is not nice, I can learn and have learned how to work and get out of it immediately. That's in time. So you move from your child self to your teenage self to your young adult self organically and into your grown up functional adult self, because you have self-esteem, which is self-empowerment, which is healthy self-worth. So you don't have feelings of grandiosity, which would mean low self-esteem, or shame. Okay, so you don't go one up or one down. That's a whole self, and your host here is a whole self. So Enlightenment Soul Age Group, a whole self. You're not learning with others how to be emotionally aware, accountable, and self-regulate. You're learning by being self-aware to take accountability when your mood comes around and to have a conversation. To be a person who can notice if you did react, to say, you know, I'm working on this. So like my three-year-old still comes up with my twin and my mother. I'm still working on it. Yeah, you say that. No, I am. I just don't know how to get that three-year-old out. Okay, that's why trauma memory and trauma charges. It's a big deal. People who are working on it is what I'm talking about. They won't come to you saying you have to live life differently because of my emotional triggers. That's not how a person who's working on their own trauma with a good therapist will do. No. The family is one business. So to their family, they might say, if there's not the capacity for you to respect and support that I am breaking the dysfunctional nervous system, I'm going to be obligated to cut and have no contact. Serious people who are working with their trauma don't talk about the canceling like the teenager of cancel culture. So when you see somebody yelling at another human being for their political point of view or religious or even just basically looking down on somebody who smokes cigarettes, looking down on somebody who drinks wine, looking down on somebody who drinks alcohol in general. Anyone who's looking down on anyone, they don't have their emotional stuff in check. Because that means you think you can cast a stone. And also it means that you don't know how to calibrate your own inner world. And what I know is you didn't get taught apparently how not to point a finger from your parent or parents and how that's rude. No, you want to be a polite, decent human being, which means that you looking down upon anyone is actually not polite and decent human being stuff. Now that people who want shame to still be around don't understand that that social shame is not what is going to have people be emotionally mature. They think fear-mongering works. Those are the same people who are teenagers who were fear-mongered, and in fact, they have no inner child out to play. Okay, so Peter Levine, healing. It's not about erasing traumatic memories. It's not even desensitizing to traumatic memories or changing our thoughts. It's about coming to connection with the vital feeling, sensing, knowing part of our bodily experience. That's Peter Levine, PhD. Okay, when we look at Patrick Tiahan, and he shares this. By the time, he says, a childhood trauma survivor gets to the point of going no contact, they have already been a continued lifelong process of lowering their expectations of having a healthy connection to fathers, mothers, and siblings. Same thing goes for those who don't get good therapy. They will have lower expectations and or just be used to being in relationships with people that don't respect them, people that don't see them, people that choose and or are abusive, so maladaptive child behavior, right? And people who consistently from the maladaptive child behavior want to be in these dynamics that are dysfunctional. So a person who gets aware of their own childhood trauma and or just their inner child, their past comes up, and they choose to take ownership of it, they're not going to, again, say, you cannot behave this way. What's going to happen is they're going to talk to you about things that can trigger them and how they're working with their therapist and stuff like that. Okay, so I'm just giving a little bit of a behind the scenes as we then get to our just food for thought. Again, functional adult here, lady, and 5D mystic, enlightenment soul age group. Everyone can be a person who gets into their restorative embodiment, but trauma memory doesn't get forgotten. So we all have child parts, that's a basic. If there's frightening from home, so childhood developmental trauma, that's something that is even more important for us to note. So your window of tolerance, okay? And then that's where we will have fragmentation and rupture. If we have attachment ruptures, then we will also have that. It's not unhealable, and remember, you're not broken. So it's healable because your nervous system is an embodied brain. That's where yoga, portfolio, ventral vagal, toning exercises, mindfulness uses the three pillars of the mind, focused attention, focused awareness, and kind intention. And those three things, which are the pillars of the mind, support you to allow your mind and your mind with the brain of it to have that corpus callosum grow, the hippocampus, the prefrontal cortex, and the interconnected connectome. And those support integration. All of this I learned from lovely Daniel Siegel and still am learning. Okay, so what a person who is emotionally mature will want, they will want those who value and respect each other and them, right? And you'll respect yourself. So not somebody who talks down or up to you. Somebody doesn't like smoking cigarettes. They don't like smoking. Don't come and harass me about smoking. Don't come near me. So the people who have this attitude with each other, which again, I consider a teenager attitude. I was a teenager that was annoying as well. As you move into your young adulthood, you can learn to be emotionally mature, flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable. You can learn to be eustressed, I think is the word that they use, which means in a challenged state versus de-stressed, which is a threatened state. You can also learn to be a pacha. And really what I'm going to say is you can learn to be a sadguru, which I love when I see that man. So the more you can think of Krishna Lila, exploring the depths of the profound with exploring the depths of the profound and the seriousness with playfulness, the more you can move into being a person who chooses to expand your consciousness and to make nothing really into a big deal because it's not life-threatening. And that's from the feeling within you. So again, everyone is motivated to bring into the world that which they want to experience. And if you want to experience love and joy, you can. If you want to experience fulfillment, you can. If you want to consistently recalibrate so that you can be in a state of ease, you can. Every day when you wake up and you start using the left mode of your brain, that's where it begins. Some people think, no, that's where it begins because your thoughts are what are going to start. The emotions inform your thoughts, but the thoughts are what can help you, which is why the three pillars of the mind, again, focus, attention, awareness, and kind intention. The kind intention allows the body to create the chemistry, which is the secure attachment chemistry. That's why it's important that you love humankind included, because you're surrounded by them. So what people don't realize when they don't embrace their humanity, that's why divinity one doesn't descend and why spiritual bypass people are not going to be moving into their lovely prefrontal cortex as long as they keep on thinking of the human species the way they do. Okay, so we're going to get to our topic. When we have emotionally mature people who learn to be in a space of ease with each other and themselves, that's when the conversations, they get really, really nice. Okay, so we respect each other. We talk with honesty, empowerment, with love and support. We don't use shame at all. We do not use blame. We do not use fault. We do not use any of that. We are shame-free as human beings. And we raise also those children shame-free. We don't need shame. Shame is an unnecessary posture to have. And if somebody wants to teach anyone a lesson, there's repeat yourself with a ventral vagal nervous system tone. Your child or people will understand. I have consistently used the ventral vagal tone because I don't have a parent who shamed me. That's why I don't have shame. And my own differentiated three-year-old stayed straight up when I got spanked and decided I was going to go make my suitcase. And my same three-year-old corrected the biological father who got the name wrong. When you stay differentiated, you stand up and it's tall, not because you're superior and not because you're going to be inferior. No, it's because you have a ventral vagal stance. You stand with your face looking straight ahead because you don't look with the posture of shame. That's our ancestors. Okay, so you will want to understand what is shame-free if you're a person who's Christ consciousness, because Christ never talked about being ashamed of being human. That came with other stuff and fear-mongering, and we all know, again, what takes place in the past. There's reasons for it. There is a different time. People take things out of context. Our species was more ignorant in the medieval times, and now we're less ignorant. And that's because of educators and academics. That's why I'm the woo-woo pseudoscience lady. We respect our academics, our researchers. Okay, so we also believe in maturity, emotional maturity, and accountability. And when somebody brings us drama or bullshit, they're maladaptive child. So no contact, ghosting, in and out behavior, their mood swings. We don't do anything about it. We're not going to shame you. We're not a martyr or superior. Those are people who are in codependent relationships. The ones who get controlling and angry, those are love-dependent people who are in the grandiosity. One up. They think they're better than you. If they are in the shame, one down, they get desperate and manipulative if they're love dependent. And so you still have somebody who's going to be what others want to term toxic. I won't. They're a maladaptive child. They need a good therapist, or they need to take a look at their emotional plane. They're not. When you have those who wall off, they just close themselves off from you. If they're grandiose, they make up some bullshit excuse of them being better than another person, and they flaunt around and go around arrogantly thinking that. And if they rethink what happened, then they're going to go in the shame and be depressed and lock themselves up and withdraw, and they stay that way until they choose to come back out and play again. And if they get smart, they get out of all of it because they say, wow, this dysfunctional, dysregulated nervous system, I'm going to tend to my human emotional plane so that I can build relationships. So I'm going to gain intimacy with myself. And here's where, yes, they believe, we believe, in the autonomy of self and body. So you gain and regain, for those who didn't have it, a relationship with your divine feminine, divine masculine. So with your own body and your own thoughts, your own feelings, they're yours to navigate. Okay? And you also will look forward to relationships that are mutually satisfying, so that you feel at ease with each other. This is the most amazing thing you can have in relationships, and that you do emotional work. If you are still an emotional lifter, you do an emotional welcome and pleasure if you have a good relationship, and you do not stay in being miserable or stuck. So people who don't do hard emotional work, they say, no, Maria, it's miserable life. I'm stuck. I can't go anywhere. Don't you see everything out there? Do the hard emotional work. Get your window of tolerance. Expand it. And that's how emotionally mature people, we're going to continue our conversation. So we get to self-regulate, and then we get to communicate. And life partnerships are that. Okay, so for one, some people think of rest and rejuvenate and secure attachment relationships and just that way as boring. I find it quite humorous that they would say boring, but I want to give, you know, an explanation of why I feel very understanding, not just feel, I can conceptualize when they say boring, what they mean is sometimes while you're sitting at ease somewhere and you're just thinking about, so let's see, what's the day going to be like? Am I going to have somebody coming in, somebody coming out? Am I going to be, you know, turning on that TV and watching something get out of sorts? Okay, so what I'm trying to get to is they're just used to so much happening all the time. So while friendships that are easygoing, it feels a bit off. Probably good. So what I like to share is that we have empowered men and empowered women. They get really because of the fact that we're not going to make a big deal out of things. We also know that there's those 24 hours in every day. And so it's very important because that's all you have, right? So appreciation. When you can savor every moment, that is where you're going to start to make sure that you can spend it in ways that involve those life partners who are emotionally accountable, aware, and mature. Also, as we build a community, of course. So when you're dealing with somebody who is having a BS dramatic day, and right now we have some energies about, so there are some people that are in those energies, they're going to be making a big deal, but it's not a big deal in a way that should be criticized, because if they don't know how to regulate their own nervous system, and they're actually just there to vent, right? So people are friends with each other so that they can have conversations. If you have the time to share with a person, you're going to allow yourself to be that safe haven, secure base for them. The aspects of who do you have, that's the part of where if your interests are to have intellectual conversations, or are they to have, you know, an emotional and intellectual relaxed moment, and so on and so forth. So simplifying, not challenging for those of us who are at ease within our 24 hours. And within our 24 hours, though, having the people that you know are part of that beauty and that joy. So for some of us, it's activities. I love to, for example, learn from my courses. Then I love to enjoy my lovely tarot decks. Whenever I'm up for a reading, I get to give you all channeled guidance at times. Today, well, not today when this is posted, but the day prior, we had a bit of channeled guidance and tarot for the energies that are about. And so that's, for example, an activity. Then you can also have, if you have a neighborhood place that you go out to, life can be that simple, a fireplace, sitting near a fireplace. What I know people long for is that one-to-one, right? Okay, so why? Well, that's your 0-1-year-old for one. And this is the monoamory community will stay the dominant because it's one, just more mathematically feasible. You're one person. There's only 24 hours. You're going to be able to build a home and a snowman and all of that snow woman, snow day, just with enough of that time, because once work is done, eating, sleeping, there you go. And so this is the time that gets allocated, but also because of the capacity or incapacity, it depends. Depends on you, for people to be able to go through life expanding consciousness or not. So some people, when they get those breakups, right, they become love avoidant. So they lock themselves up and they get busy, and they don't want to have anything to do with people. And so you can notice this if you take a look at yourself and why you do what you do. Some people, so if you are intellectually savvy, here's where it becomes a lot more about, if I cannot have intellectually and emotionally satisfying interactions, then that will be of uninterest. And here's the part of where mature, emotionally speaking, individual with a 0-1-year-old will not suffer loneliness. They will not suffer not having a life partner. They will know rationally and emotionally of where they are and why they are where they are. So it's never boring to have the capacity to be an empowered, restorative, embodied person, is what I'm trying to describe to you right now. Because every day you're in that now, and with that left and right, you can understand why one moment can be a bit flat, another moment can be less flat, and then how that consistency of satisfaction will be presented to you with the right people, because you get the feeling as you interact with those people. For my polyamory community, like I said, you have 24 hours, so that means you are going to be limited, but also, if you have people who are not certain of their wanting to be participant consistently in your life. Okay, so consistency is key to you knowing if somebody's emotionally aware and emotionally available and emotionally self-regulating. Okay, so if they want more of interaction with you, if they want to have intimacy, if they do enjoy and you enjoy their and the time, okay, then you're going to see consistently, equally. That doesn't mean always. And this is actually something that in time you learn. I remember learning about communication and getting better and better in that, thanks to my lovely T1 is the one that I can thank the most for all of the capacity that I have to understand how to communicate. And then we got T2 and T3. They continued to seal the deal in learning how to effectively communicate. With soulmates, you get to learn how to cherish and be, be mesmerized by the fact that there are always going to be people who you can share a lot of ideas on how relationships and life and how things in the love equation can go. So with twin flame, for the twin flame, that means you're going to learn how to be a version of yourself that is more mature. When you have the soulmates, you know you're going to learn how to enjoy that maturity and enjoy those traits and how to bring them forth. And so that's where with your own self, though, you bring those two pieces together, and then it doesn't matter if it's twin flame, soulmates, those people who are out there, it's going to be two people and or more that consistently invest time. And here's where to create a secure attachment relationship requires people to want to be each other's safe haven, secure base. That is a conversation. When people they long for, and then they are upset and they are lonely. And in moments of loneliness, they fall within despair. That is an opportunity for, whether it's a man, a woman, or they, it's an opportunity for them to make a conscious choice of how to occupy their time in a satisfactory, emotionally speaking, way. The fulfillment that comes from within is that you engage in activities, if there are no people around you, in activities that you savor. And that part of how you think will make a difference. And so if you're going to use your mind, the thought part of it, you're going to say, I'm going to go savor a moment of pleasure or satisfaction instead of sitting here and staying within within a moment of despair or upset. Your embodied brain and how you think things through and feel things through is something that they compare to like a workout. So you using the pillar, three pillars of the mind, thank you, Daniel Siegel, you can always use these. And it is mindfulness, but you can consistently apply actively in any moment that you choose to get that thought to move into equanimity, unflappability, to savoring the sweetness with calm, sweet, and savory. And that's why those who are used to adrenaline or this threat response, as they taste and test out this other aspect, they'll notice the difference. And the sweetness is not this adrenaline or whatever it is that they will, the tightness, okay? And here's where I'm going to share the human love narrative. People will love what I'm describing because your body feels very at ease and very happy and very safe. And the only people who don't like that and who feel uncomfortable with it, the ones who feel uncomfortable, if they've done good therapy, they know to push themselves and to keep on doing their best to stay within this comfort, because that's window of tolerance expanding to I'm safe to be human. So for me, it's the opposite, meaning the panic attacks. So I'm going to use those. For me, it's, okay, when I'm having one, breathing, staying relaxed, getting rid of the story, all that stuff, being able to go out, it's purely physiological. People who have had the inner childhood trauma, the attachment wound, so they have not felt safe in their body, they expand a window of tolerance to stay in a soothed state, because as Peter Levine specifies, again, let me read it. Healing. It's not about erasing traumatic memories. It's not even desensitizing to traumatic memories or changing our thoughts. It's about coming to connection with the vital feeling, sensing, knowing part of our daily experience. And that's the part of where your inner child is the past that lives within you. So trauma cannot be deleted, but it can be minimized. Every time that you get the opportunity to remind safety, and the body's like, no, that's your cue, if you're aware of what you're bringing to the table for yourself, is I want to be safe in my human being body. I am a human being body, the inner child of me. You're safe. I'm the adult of you. I'm in my prefrontal cortex. And people who are not ready for this, they will have a way to continue utilizing the human suffering love narrative. They will have a way to continue trying to wear boxing gloves. And that's the part of where to talk about it is what can help people to know their opportunity and their choice. The talking about it, for me, it's because I'm attachment trauma informed, and I can tell you what it's like to be in a rest rejuvenate and an ease state. And I can share with you that I don't like being in a rigid ever body. I like to be expanded. I like to be comfortable. If there are moments where there's a lack of excitement, let's say some boring stuff's coming up, and so that energy of, oh, but I want something different today. Usually, something's going to have happened. So whenever I get a contrasting feeling to it's easy to live life, for example, right? It's easy because I'm awake, I'm here, it's good. All is good in the land of the living. And actually, where's Sadhguru? He has a quote on that one. Let me use it, because actually, it's funny. There's some other dude who made a comment. Here it is. You can become much more alive, but you cannot become more than life. Even though, Sadhguru, I don't know if I agree, but I understand what you're saying. Okay. And he goes on to say, explore the many dimensions of life, which is true. There's a lot of different dimensions. But I'm thinking you can become not more than life, because obviously he's talking about Akash, you know, infinite cosmic galaxy, all of it. But I can bask in the glory, if I wanted to, of the flow state and just be there. But the comment is you can become, he says, much more alive, but you can't become much more dead. This person, I don't know who they are, but that made me laugh. So we all can be alive in our nervous system, the ventral vagal response, when your default mode network is downregulated. And instead, the pseudo-alive people, they get stuck in pseudo-aliveness because they're not aware of the psych education and that their default mode network is turning on to seek to stay in that dysfunctional pattern. Okay, so that's why pseudoscience is okay for me, because I'm not the one doing the research, but I know that I'm getting it from the researchers, the therapists, the ones who teach, okay? And like I was saying, when I have a boring emotion, let's say there's some stagnating stuff that comes up, I'm already going to know that my three-year-old is pouting about something not necessary, because I'm breathing right now as I'm speaking to you. So I know that I'm here. So in my poutiness is because of wanting, what is it? What is food? What is it? Another human being, that human being, what is it that you want? That you piece of ego self-consciousness here aren't satisfied with. And this is as straightforward as it gets. So that's why those people who don't have secure attachment say that secure attachment is boring. It's not boring. It's basically you can have a reflective experience, be in your flow state from within, deal with the unknowns, uncertainties, and unwanteds without drama, because you don't go to your dysfunctional, dysregulated, stressed nervous system response. And the people that find it hard because they don't want to use their left mode, that's them choosing not to close the left story, the left mode and the verbal, and to then focus on something that they can enjoy. There's no motivation to move into complete neutrality and duality, because we're actively going to be asking ourselves to get out of the pouty three-year-old. Okay, so emotionally though, mature relationships, we do this. Okay, so we're going to keep going forward again. And that's as we organize just a couple in a more different piece of content. When you meet people that are emotionally mature, aware, accountable, you can have some of the most beautiful and in-depth relationships, because there's no comparison to direct communication that comes from people who are spelling out everything that they are. When you have people who are supporting themselves to get out of their own childhood trauma, if they're doing so with full-fledged awareness, they are going to seek those of us who are open to their manners, because they would know, and I say would because, again, I am usually around the people who are either mature already or they're actively taking care of their stuff by themselves, because that's the part of where some people, they don't like to share, because they feel like they're going to burden another person. So I understand that, which is why if you're intuitive, you're going to know how to leave a person to make those choices of unburdening themselves if they want, and knowing that they're not a burden. That is the typically love-avoidant person. They're afraid to get hurt. They're trying to keep it to themselves because they're tippy-toeing and they want to come in, but they're not really sure. The love dependent, they get anxious when you are not around. So they're easier for you to share and reassure and let them know it's okay. But, you know, to recalibrate that one is where they don't actively know how to recalibrate. So you have to set up the ways of having that time frame. While with the avoidant, they have to want to open up. You can't force them to open up. Not that anybody ever really tries, but here's where with the direct communication, what you'll notice is if somebody is not actually wanting to open up, they're going to project when you're seeking to just spill the beans. They're gonna find a way to get aggressive, and that's because they're being pushed beyond that limit at the time. So if they're aware and they're doing work, then they would go and consult with that therapist or a consultant, and they would come back around to have the face-to-face interaction, though, to have a talk. You know, again, it's not rocket science at this point in our lovely time, 2024, for those who want to work with each other to get to a daily routine of relationships that can embellish your life. And that's why that I don't even know how to say it right now. I'm just in this moment feeling all that is blissful and an ease state, and noticing that finally we have enough pieces of those puzzles out there in society's social media platforms, authors, journalists, to actively build those emotionally mature life partnerships that equate the whole till death does part, sickness and in health, right? Richer and poorer, and the forgiveness, all of it. Here's where for my polyamory community, we're completely on with the fact that we want partners to be happy versus them being our property. Well, of course, I can understand the monoamory individual. It's more about me understanding that a person will not have experienced loving more than one person in a non-conventional friendship way. So those people don't know how it is to feel romantically and more than just friends, loving and involved with a person. Doesn't mean that you will have been with them. It can be platonic, but you know that the bond, and even if it's one, meaning that one is able to express it while the other has a challenging time expressing it, there's still a bond that is between two people, because the bond can only be created, by the way, with the collaboration. When you're creating a story, that's a whole different perspective, okay? So I'm going to use the example, creating a story. I'll use this. We always can share with our loved ones, right? Friends, people, family, something that we're experiencing with that emphasis of energy, right? If you're taking something really, really seriously, really, really full forced in, you're going to share it with that same level of emotional stuff. But you might have another person who, for them, none of what you are feeling is the same. So their feelings for the relationship have a different depth. Depth of feeling is going to be determined by the participation that you hold within yourself. So depth of feeling comes from people who have an emotional inner world that they have access to. And this is where, so number one, if you feel deeply and you're experiencing something deeply, you're going to share it with that depth with those loved ones, because they're safe spaces for you to share it with. Got it? The people who you are feeling that with doesn't mean that they have the same depth of emotional experience or that they wish to achieve. And here's why: it's not about rejection protection. It's about being on two different emotional planes, and it will be very visible, which can be something that a person will be upset about, but it is something you accept as a direct communicator. So that would indicate this is not a life partner. They don't have and don't savor my presence and my intellectual participation in their life as much as I have, which is why it's not somebody getting offended. Nobody's rejecting anybody. It is called the level of depth of experience that you may or may not be having, you know, with each other. So offended is only a person who has low self-esteem. Because they would take that a person not wanting depth with them is a person that is indicating they're not worthy. Person who knows their worth, that it's rejection, it's not protection, and it's not you're a piece of shit. It's simply put, we are on an opposite end of the spectrum when it comes to what we want. Okay, So that's the example of where you can say it's one-sided, but it's not one-sided, it's different-sided. But here's what I was trying to get to as we close out. When people are not in any life partnership, but they are in what is an exchange, and sometimes it takes a while to figure it out, but they're in that exchange that is going to maintain a virtual relationship exchange. And essentially, one person thinks it might be going somewhere, but the reality is it's not. So when that happens, you will figure it out in time. There's no way you don't. Once that's figured out, the emotion matures. No need to make it into a debate. Okay, so you are going to understand that's not a life partner. That's not a person who's invested in each other as partnership and partners. To look at, you know, what's happening in the day-to-day. Are we doing well? Are we not? It's just a person that I have a good rapport with in some instances, and then we leave it at that. And that's not in any way, shape, or form boring. It's actually quite beautiful because you are not upset in a way of making it out to be drama. The people who make those inconsistent relationships dramatic are the same people who don't seem to notice that they're getting into the desperation, the manipulation of their story, that they're getting into their threat safety behavior, they're not being reciprocated. How dare they treat me like this? How this, how that? Okay, so yes, we all have experiences, but as you go from your 16 years of age, you're 18, you're 19, you're 20, this is what I was saying, when you're moving into the age groups, this is what changes. So the monoamory monogamous person, I'm going to say, has settled down. They're going to have a specific way that they see love because of finding those people that they get to share life with. If you move past that, where you move into knowing of life partnerships, meeting those that don't have the same feeling that you have, you get to recalibrate. So for people who that's devastating, they call it post-traumatic growth. For the ones of us who have an emotional window of welcome, we call it expansion of consciousness. They're one and in the same, but the difference is that one, my nervous system, the ones who have emotional window welcome, do not feel that experience as traumatic. And that's because your nervous system is not overwhelmed. Now, the external world will seek to explore all people equally. That's what they like to do, right? They like to box us up into groups. And so I know already that when you look at twin flames or soulmates or oversoul or dark night of the death, that whole, all that stuff within the, you know, spirituality ELSA group, okay? So it's ELSA group, not because it doesn't happen, but because they're all in a place where their body is not their home yet. So they're still needing to find their inner child, which is why they need to get to the inner child. Then they get rid of the shame button and they realize their worth and they get to be their self. So from that moment forth, and that's why, you know, the stories from Sadhguru to Buddha, when they talk about going off and then you're dying off, it's to me an indication of that ego self dying off, meaning you become your inner adult because you start to notice your inner child, because you've become your inner adult child. So you're an emotion mature, an integrated brain and a restorative embodiment. When you have secure attachment, you're safe to be yourself, which is why it's not boring every day, is a quote unquote flat line that you get to blow a balloon in, you know, the air in the balloon, and then you get to fill it with those candies and the chocolates, and you get to bring in all of that, which makes your life complete. That's because you know the people that intellectually stimulate you, you know the people who emotionally stimulate you, and you know that they are on the same page. They want to have more of you, and you want to have more of them. And that is one of the most amazing journeys that I can share as you move through your teenage to your young adulthood and notice that you consistently become more of yourself, which is what we get to talk about again and again and again, in different ways, in different shapes and forms, and how to handle the maladaptive child, because you want to handle a maladaptive child with the functional adult love language, because you get to put into practice your ventral vagal and your eustress, you get to put into practice the physical mastery. And that's obviously with the mental and emotional mastery involving your inner growth mindset. So the application of thoughts. And like I was saying, okay, your boring feeling, my lovely three-year-old, or your excited feeling, what is it about? And you harnessing your own inner dialogue. You share the inner dialogue with the people who have the exact same caliber of desire that you do. Why is this important? Because we have 24 hours in a day and it's precious. And so people are gonna wanna spend it with the people and the activities and the situations that they will be most joyful around. And that is actually something not hard to do. And so we'll close out with my lovely teenage boyfriend story, the one where when he's breaking up, he says, after I gave him a whole month, he says, I don't think about you anymore in the morning, which was the only thing I needed to hear to know, okay, it's done, we're done. And I don't remember if we had discussed this, but I'm pretty sure we had talked sometimes about it, because the part about knowing that you're a life partner to each other, and that is where it can be romantic, platonic, for my polyamory, it can be actively, always, not always, this is where you'll know you, if you're an empowered person, emotionally, mentally, and physically, you don't need me, you don't need me. You already know that the people who are life partnerships, they will talk to you, because that's the whole point. It's a conversation, and it's not something that doesn't get discussed. If it does not get talked about, then it gets recalibrated. And that's with direct communication on the ends of both people, because you're going to find that middle spot of, nope, we want different things. Or, yes, we want the same thing. The same things is where you are setting the relationship up in a way that equates, what do you do when you wake up? Who do you think of? Who do you want to be around? How long? How little? And you'll notice it's not very hard to think of the people that you know you want around you all the time. I already have them already. The minute that a person says, who do you want around you? The ones who are building a castle, those people are really just protecting themselves. So what you'll notice is that they build a fairy tale and they exaggerate all of the elements and they use names and they use this, and it's a fictitious world. And it's not good or bad, but it's just different. That's definitely not what we're talking about right now. What we're talking about are people who want to spend time. They understand that time is not always available. They really do what they can to try and create vicinity, to try and create circumstances and situations so that they can spend time together. You actually are called to each other when you have a good rapport with people. When you don't, that's where some people, they will want to continue to be actively a part of that life of yours. And we've talked about that energy. And you will obviously know that you allow your loved ones to stick around. But there are some that get a little bit more, they're not direct communicators. This is where we're going to disengage from that. That's a side note for another topic. Meantime, emotional maturity, again, self-regulation and accountability. It's really nice. Life partners that are this, they are the ones that you get to build a castle and more with, because it's also heart-to-heart. It's conversations that really, they make a difference. The most amazing conversations, I'm going to say, have always been those that stem from the heart and lead with the heart. And then when you get to just look at the eyes of each other, and magical for sure. Now, the fear, that's the sad part for those who have fear, because you will meet people who have fear, at least for a divine feminine. I can say that it's just sad to see fear, even if fear is masked as quote-unquote asshole-ish behavior. It doesn't matter. Because the divine feminine will always pick up the inner child. And so the inner child is just, locked up inside somewhere. And you can't let the child out because it's in another person's body. And that's that past that is leading the way. So remember that our right brains communicate to each other. And so, yeah, the divine feminine, they will not be able to unsee what you are made of. And if your inner child is sad and scared and afraid and in there, we're just going to want to hug you. But again, that's the part of where we will know if we can hug you. Of course, we hug you and we let you know that we're here. If you don't want that hug, we just have to respect that and leave it alone. So that's obviously not the life partnerships that I'm talking about, because that's really more of a person who, if they're not aware of any of it, that's why they won't know anything, which, by the way, can reassure divine feminine, like myself, of the fact that people don't experience their unconscious subconscious because they're suppressing it. That's why, like Peter Levine says, it's not about canceling that trauma stuff. It's about you welcoming it. But if a person can't, what they're going to do is do that shame cycle. They're going to go get distracted. And so fucking, drinking, drugging, shopaholicism, whatever it is, they're going to distract themselves from it. And that's the part of where they don't think, if they do, there might be an inner critic, outer critic. We'll use the opposite when I was saying to you about being bored, right? Okay, so what's up, three-year-old? What's the boring stuff? What are we chit-chatting about today? If you're a person who's working to get your inner child and you as the adult, then you're not going to ignore. You're going to say, okay, what's up? What are we afraid of today? Ah, okay, we got triggered here. Okay, well, let's go do this over here. That way we can, you know, disengage from ruminating. We're going to go do this over there so that we can disengage again from ruminating. You are the one who motivates yourself to find the human love narrative inside your body versus the human suffering. You're the one who expands your window of welcome to emotions. You're the one who expands your window of tolerance if you don't have a window of welcome. You're the one who emotionally matures if you choose to be self-aware. And with that awareness, notice I do have thoughts and I do have emotions, and they always come up together. And actually, in the emotions, they dictate what my thoughts are. So wait, shut up, thoughts. Hey, body, what's up? What are you telling me today? Oh, you're bored again. Oh, you're in your pissy pants. Do we have anything? Is anything going on? What's the deal? This is the introception part. Okay. So what I'm sharing with you is very easy. This is not what happens if we have a person who actually needs to get a good therapist going, okay? It's only if they have at least some room for themselves in their brain, thinking brain, and the feelings that they will be able to work with any of us to have a conversation. Otherwise, they're gonna be reactive, and the shutdown or the clinginess is what takes place, which is where moderation always is key, and the ventral vagal nervous system of any person who is here tuning in today, who is already active, knows exactly how we just say the right things. No, not necessarily, but we know how to be a direct communicator who will have a tone that is accepting, respectful, and loving. That's because we will not be shaming a poor inner child that has no reason to be shamed. They already were in whatever environment happened, you know? So we don't need to add to whatever's going on in there. We'll make sure to understand. And if, you know, again, sometimes there are those moments where a person will use their mood and their manners in ways that are insulting, quote unquote. But even then, you will be a person, if you're mature, self-regulated, and a grown-up who's accountable and attachment. No, you don't need to be attachment trauma-informed. I learned from Jesus how to handle anything. Open heart and respect. God, humble, thank you. You're not made more special and perfect like anybody else. And I'm a human, so I know what moods are like, right? Okay, so you having spite, envy, jealousy, revenge, you having shame, blame, fault, those are all safety behaviors. So I will know how to respond, and if I need to respond in a way to stand up for myself, I will. And I will do so with a respectful, accepting, and understanding tone that will be firm, direct. And I will also know, okay, well, I guess we don't have a match when it comes to certain things, right? Okay, and we have recalibrated, and it's done. You recalibrate your relationships, because that's what emotionally mature people can do. And it's not boring, it's very satisfying, because this is the humanity that we each hold when we're a restorative embodiment person, and it's because we're flawed and imperfect like anybody else. And so here's unconditionally loving, and that is pure consciousness, purusha, with prakriti, pure energy. Your whole three-year-old heart and your one-year-old presented to another person, no mask, and they will not have a mask either if they want to be intimate with you. And so we'll be back with more. Ask your questions if you have any. And remember, there's paid subscription-based model content for the Ask Maria opinionated columnist episodes. You send me an email and then it'll be online for the entire community. Something that supports you, obviously following you, understanding where I can support you. Have a wonderful day, everyone.